WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Colorectal cancer is one of the deadliest cancers in the U.S. In late stages, the disease can spread to the liver, leaving patients in need of a liver transplant. But only a few centers around the country perform transplants for colorectal cancer, so it isn't prioritized, and patients can end up at the bottom of the transplant list. A new treatment option from Northwestern Medicine could change that. Since livers regenerate, surgeons figured that they can split a donor liver into two parts and transplant the organ in two patients. Barclay Misson is the first patient at Northwestern to receive a liver using this technique. He joined us along with his doctor, Zachary Deitch, a transplant surgeon at Northwestern. Dr. Deitch began by explaining what exactly the function of a liver is and what it does.
The liver does a lot of things. It, it importantly clears toxins. It also plays an integral role in the digestive process. So when you eat, the liver makes bile, and it helps your body absorb nutrients. And so it really performs numerous functions, others immunologic functions as well. So it's truly an amazing organ.
Yeah, and in Barclay's case, this liver transplant was assisting with his colorectal cancer. So help us make that connection and talk about how the procedure at Northwestern works.
Sure. So when we normally do liver transplants for conventional indications, we are usually operating on patients who have advanced scarring of the liver called cirrhosis, and that can come from a number of disease etiologies. Liver transplant for colorectal cancer is an emerging indication. And so the difference here is that livers such as Barclay's are function normally and are healthy, but they have a tumor from colorectal cancer that's spread to the liver.
Right.
So the idea for patients who are eligible for this is we remove the liver and eliminate the only remaining colorectal cancer that's in their body. So this is an oncologic operation as opposed to transplant for curing liver dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that there is no good way to get livers or for patients like Barclay because their liver is healthy. And so what we've done is something called the rapid procedure, which is we take a liver that has been allocated to a different recipient, someone with a conventional indication for liver transplant. We take a very small piece of the liver that is too small to provide enough liver function on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And in patients like Barclay, we remove half of their liver, transplant the very small piece of donor liver. We wait 2 weeks for it to grow, and the liver grows very rapidly. And then we go back and we remove the remaining part of the recipient's liver that has cancer in it to complete the operation.
That just sounds incredible to me, right? So I just want to make sure we got that. So this liver, this donor liver from a deceased person that was already set for an original recipient.
Right.
And you've discovered that you can actually take that liver and split it. Not in half,
right?
You know, there's still a larger piece and a smaller piece, but you can give the smaller piece to someone like Barclay.
Right. So it's a very small piece, about, you know, fit in the size of your hand.
Right. Which eventually grows.
Grams, and it doubled in size within 2 weeks. And that was just enough in size to provide independent liver function so that Barclay could survive without the rest of his liver.
What did you think, Barclay, when you first heard about this?
I was amazed, and obviously at the time, this was like the first bit of hope that I had because I had been undergoing chemo for the prior 2.5 years, and I was pretty much ready to give up because the quality of my life was not, it was taking its toll.
Can you take us back and tell us more about that health journey, like from maybe diagnosis onward?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer in 2021, at the very end of 2021, mm-hmm. At Northwestern. And my oncologist team there immediately started treatment, which I responded well to. I was very lucky. I responded very well, which allowed them to then go ahead and do a colon resection to get rid of the primary tumor, as well as some ablation to try to minimize the tumors that had moved to my liver and contain it. So the only cancer that I had was still in my liver. And then I underwent chemo for every 2 weeks for those 2.5 years, just trying to make sure that it's not moving and it's not growing.
Yeah.
And they were able to, you know, do that, which allowed me to be in a position to get a call from Dr. Deitch, who had been working closely with the oncology team to essentially find a patient that could hopefully undergo it, and then the coordination with the organ transplant procurement and the donor and then the primary recipient who voluntarily chose to share the liver with me. So
right, it's, you said though even before that occurred the quality of your life had deteriorated. Tell us more about that. What was going on? Obviously, you were going through chemo. I imagine that was incredibly stressful.
It was just draining. You know, it was every 2 weeks. So I would go in on Friday, and then it would take me longer and longer to bounce back. At first, it wasn't so bad, other than, you know, some of the more typical side effects. But after 2.5 years, it was starting to really drain, and I couldn't do as much as I wanted to, and I got to the point where I knew how the book was going to end, and I didn't want to go through it, and I didn't want my kids to see me going through it.
You were giving up.
I was ready to give up. Yeah, yeah. And, summertime last year, I was trying to figure out how do I look my family in the face, in the eyes, and tell them, hey, I'm sorry, I can't continue this. And I didn't have to have that conversation.
Wow. Doctor. Kelly Podres of Hanover Park is the person that we're referring to. She, in this case, was the original recipient of the liver transplant, and it was split with Barclay. What were the conversations like with Kelly? Because Kelly had to agree to this.
Right.
Because here she is, a patient herself, about to get a liver, right, a new liver, and she has to agree to say, I'm okay with you just giving me a portion of it. How did that go?
Right. She never hesitated. When we explained what was at stake here and her opportunity to donate and help Barclay, she never hesitated. And she's truly the hero here because she was the key that enabled this to all happen, in addition to the donor family. For Barclay, this was a true gift, true altruistic gift of generosity. And mm-hmm. in transplant, we see this a lot through living donation, deceased donation. It's really a time when people's best comes out and people give the gift of life.
Yeah. What were the risks, though, for Kelly and for Barclay?
So for Kelly, she assumed some increased risk, albeit small, because the liver resection we performed on the donor liver is a small piece. So the corresponding risks are, I would say, increased, but not significantly so. So we of course put that into context for her, so she can make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
For Barclay, we didn't sugarcoat anything. Barclay is also a true hero here, and I've been impressed with his bravery from day one. I very candidly told him we hadn't done this before. This is a challenging operation. I had faith that our team had the skill set to do this and do it. But I also very candidly told him it may not turn out well. And this hasn't been done, to our knowledge, hasn't been done out in the United States before. And so, you know, he faced that very clear-eyed and with remarkable calm and was extremely brave. So that'll be one of the things I remember most about this.
Mm-hmm. What gave you that sense of calm, Barclay?
Talking with Dr. Deitch and Dr. Nidig.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it's scary being the first to do something, or it can be.
It was, but very shortly after we had our first conversation, Dr. Deitch's openness and willingness to kind of go into the details as much as I could understand them anyway, and just the clarity and the transparency gave me 100% confidence right off the bat. I had no doubts that if I was lucky enough to be able to try this and this was a path that I should do it, and this was absolutely the right thing, and I knew 100% that I was in the best hands possible, so I didn't have any doubts.
Yeah. Doctor, could someone else in the future who's in Barclay's situation, could a procedure like this help them maybe skip the chemo process altogether? Can they kind of go straight to the transplant?
Probably not. Now, for patients to be eligible to receive a liver transplant for colorectal liver metastases, patients need to demonstrate, we really need to understand the biology of their disease. And for that, we need to see that patients like Barclay are able to do well on chemotherapy and that their disease remains confined to their liver. So of, you know, all the patients who are diagnosed with colorectal cancer, a relatively small percentage of patients will be patients who need a liver transplant. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of criteria that we need to look for, and one of which is stability on systemic therapy.
I see. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a chance to meet Kelly Barclay?
I did. I met Kelly this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right. You had a press conference this morning. Yeah. How did that go?
It was very emotional.
What did you say?
Been looking forward to it, and I've been dreading it because what do you say? Like, how can you even put into words the gratitude that I have for everybody that's involved? And you know, I say, like, I literally start my day with thoughts of Dr. Deitch and Dr. Nadig and the team at Northwestern and Kelly and the donor and their families. And all day long, it pops into my head just how lucky I am. And it sounds a little corny, but it's true. I not only did I get a second chance at life, but it's profoundly changed the way that I appreciate being here on planet Earth, you know?
Not corny at all. This is life-changing stuff we're talking about here. And you're 4 months out from this transplant. So how do you feel physically?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still some recovery left, but every day it gets better. And it's kind of like, a Kinder egg every day where you realize, hey, I didn't take a nap, and oh, I walked the dogs twice today. And, you know, so it's very much the little things that happen. And so I slept through the night this time, you know?
Yeah.
So it's those little things that you just take for granted, or that I used to take for granted, that now are kind of celebratory moments.
You celebrate
all
the little
throughout
victories.
My day. Yeah.
I love that. How is Kelly doing, doctor? How's her health?
She's doing beautifully. So it was thrilling to see the two, you know, Barclay and Kelly meet today. And she is such a lovely person. I couldn't think of two better people to benefit from this.
So for this rapid procedure, this sounds like a success story.
So far, it's been wonderful, and enormous team effort. This has involved, you know, somewhere around 10 surgeons, 2 operating rooms, hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people involved. It's an undertaking that can only be undertaken by a place like Northwestern with the resources and the ability and the you know, bravery to take on something like this.
What are your hopes moving forward?
Well, I hope Barclay's experience will, you know, the word will get out, and we'll be able to see more patients and offer this therapy to more patients who will benefit. I think because colorectal cancer is an emerging indication for liver transplant, many providers, oncologists included, don't know about transplant as an option. So I hope that this experience will expand access to liver transplant for patients who need it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, it's Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, the mm-hmm. month of March. So folks listening right now, what do you want them to know about early detection and screening? Both of you. Barclay, want to go first?
Yeah, don't put it off. Go as early as you can. you know, I received my diagnosis at 50. I followed all the rules and the guidelines at your 50th birthday, go for the screening. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, like, what would have been different if we had found it earlier? You know, I'd say just don't put it off. Early screening saves lives. So don't hesitate. Just go do it.
Doctor?
Yeah, I think Berkeley said it nicely, and just echo it. See your primary care doctor or follow your cancer screenings. Early detection is the key. If you can avoid needing chemotherapy and liver transplants, that's even better.
Dr. Zachary Deitch is a transplant surgeon at Northwestern Medicine, and Barclay Misson is the first patient at Northwestern to receive a liver from this technique. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you, Barclay.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings you breaking news with nuance. To never miss a conversation, click subscribe or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.